It is my great pleasure and privilege to have been asked to be here tonight. This is really exciting stuff. To get together this many ladies from so many different places here in South Florida. I know some of you have traveled from very afar off to be here with us tonight, and you encourage us with your presence. Some of us who are here tonight are very, very young. I remember when I started bringing my girls to the Ladies' Day and told them, you are ladies, so you need to act like it. And I told them it's important for us to have this time together to grow as ladies. And it's an enjoyable event, too. I mean, who doesn't like a whole bunch of dressed-up men serving you dinner, right? They've been working very, very hard on that. And can I just say for a minute, I didn't realize how many of y'all were wearing those tiaras, and I love it. Really love it. There's my girls over there. Very, very cute. Our topic this evening is... as you know, daughters of the king. We're going to talk about what that means. When we think about daughter of a king, what do we think about? Think about a princess, don't we? What little girl doesn't want to be a princess? I know that mine did. The girls in our house certainly wanted to be princesses. Anybody remember those little faces? Y'all, I asked for permission before I did that. We may or may not in our house have had a pink Barbie princess karaoke machine upon which we belted out Disney princess show tunes. The girls really liked singing on it too. That fascination with the princesses has not abated as the years have progressed. In fact, some of us still have not grown out of that phase. That picture of Katie was taken about 2 months ago. Nothing wrong with that. We haven't outgrown it. We love watching princess movies. We love reading princess stories. We may, being a photography family, we may conduct princess-inspired photo shoots. And we are not ashamed of that at all. We enjoy that very much. This fascination with princesses is not exclusive to the Sproul household, although we do like princesses. People all over the world are fascinated with princesses. Grown-up engaged women plan fairy tale weddings. Can you say Disney's fairy tale weddings? And they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on gowns fit for royalty. And you want further proof of how fascinated we are with this? Consider the world's fascination with the British royal family. In 1981, 35 years ago, 750 million people tuned in to watch Lady Diana Spencer marry Prince Charles at St. Paul's Cathedral. 750 million people, right? In 2011, when Kate married William, the royal public relations folks say 2 billion, but it's estimated that people from more than 180 countries tuned in to watch that wedding. There were 72 million live stream hits on YouTube. Okay, and we say all of that to say that people are fascinated by princesses, right? What is a princess but a daughter of the king? Okay, and it's fun for us to talk about secular royalty, and it's fun for us to talk about princesses, and it's fun for us to dress up and have bling and wear little sparkly tiaras, right? That's a lot of fun. But what does it mean to us to be the daughter of a king? We know that God is our king, don't we? I mean, the scripture tells us that very plainly, and we hear a lot of people in the world talk about accepting him as their personal savior. We don't as much hear people talk about submitting to a king. And that's a very different thing. It's one thing to accept a personal savior. It's an entirely different concept to consider that we need to submit ourselves to a king. And that means a level of obedience that we don't often consider. Let's see what the scripture says. Psalm chapter 45 and verse 6 tells us that God reigns on the throne of heaven and that his kingdom will last forever. In 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, we know that the Israelites cried out, "We want a king. Make us like all the other nations." And Samuel was furious with them, and God said to him, "Samuel, they don't recognize that they already have a king." Ladies, do we recognize that we already have a king? The Bible tells us in Psalm 47, chapter 7 through verses 7 through 8, that God is the King of all the earth. And Zechariah 14:9 tells us that the Lord is the King over all of the earth. This same God, this Jehovah, who reigned over the Israelites, sits on the holy throne of heaven. He is King over all of the earth. Listen to what he says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. I will be a father to you, says the Lord God Almighty, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. Girls, we are royalty. We are the daughters of the King. But what does that mean? What does it mean that we are daughters of the King? A daughter of the King is privileged. I mean, do you think about that when you think about royalty? Do you think about the gowns that Kate gets to wear and how often she's photographed out and everybody wants to know what's her new outfit? People are fascinated by the privilege that they perceive that a royal family would have. The daughter of a king, the daughter of the King, the God, our King, as daughters of His, we are heirs. She is an heir to the hope of eternal life. What does that mean? Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, we have been justified by His grace that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We can't even comprehend the concept of eternal, right? We can't comprehend the beginning and the end of time, because from God's perspective, it just goes on and on and on. And He's offered us life that lasts eternally. She inherits a home in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says that He's given us an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It's reserved in heaven for us. She inherits a home that He has specifically prepared for her. Listen to Jesus' words in John chapter 14. This is one of my most favorite passages in the Bible. Jesus is getting ready to, in this passage, He is getting ready to walk to His death. He knows what is coming. And He says to His apostles, to His very best friends, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions." Some translations will say, "In My Father's house are many rooms." There's enough rooms for all of us. If it were not so, Jesus said, "I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," He saved us a place. He's getting it ready for us. Just tonight at dinner, we were talking about children coming home to visit and thinking that we wouldn't have things ready for them. And listen, mom's always got something in the refrigerator to pull out for her kids, doesn't she? God's preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place that we will inherit. She inherits not only a place specifically prepared for her, she inherits a place of eternal life. Heaven is where we go to live with God forever. She inherits a place of everlasting comfort. Everlasting comfort. How beautiful is the verse that says to us, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. You know, we were talking a lot tonight about Jean. And when those loved ones have lost, have gone from us, it hurts a lot. It hurts really. I'm sorry, Amber. It hurts a lot at the beginning. It also gives us a lot of joy, doesn't it? I can't tell you, watching Amber going through this with Amber this last year, losing her daddy unexpectedly like that, she cries a lot. We cry with her. A lot of times they're happy tears because we think how much fun Gene would have had with this. Gene would have been walking around tonight, by the way, with at least one of those tiaras on his head. And I'd have taken about 50 pictures of it. We won't have that in heaven, because God's going to wipe those tears away from our eyes. God wraps us up in His love and His comfort, and He does that because we are daughters of the King. It is a place where God lives, and His light continues forever. It's a place where it's not dark, and it doesn't need artificial light, and it doesn't need a sun, and it doesn't need stars, and it doesn't need a flashlight, and it doesn't need that cool app that's on your iPhone, and it doesn't need a button on your phone. The light that it has is God. God lives there, and it is so bright and so shining and so beautiful because He is the only light that it needs. It's a place where God lives. And as daughters of the King, we inherit that place. A daughter of the king is privileged because she is a joint heir with Christ. I mean, you think about that. Christ is the Son of God. We are daughters of the king. Hebrews chapter 2 gives us one of the most beautiful pictures of our relationship with Christ that I believe I've ever read. He calls us brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 says that he who sanctifies, that is Christ, and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all of one. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters of Christ. We've been talking this whole year, our theme, the theme for Palm Beach Lakes, our congregation, well, they give us themes to sort of focus our thoughts and give us reasons to work, and it's brilliant. This year's theme is, I am not ashamed. And each month, we fill in the blank. What am I not ashamed of this month, right? Do you see that blank that Jesus filled in for us? I am not ashamed to call you sisters. That is a tremendous thought, girls. We are joint heirs with Christ. A daughter of the king is one of God's children. Behold what manner of love, John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Behold what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God, that he's called us children. Are your kids special to you? Yeah. Well, do they drive you nuts? How special are your children to you? Mine are pretty special to me, right? Did y'all see Katie get up tonight and lead that song when she wasn't at all sure what she was supposed to do? She did it. Do you see Kelly walking around being mom? Usually I'm the one taking pictures of the speaker, and I'm sitting there just patiently waiting for her to turn and look at me so I can get a good shot of the person looking at the camera. I'm helping out tonight. Our children are special to us. They're special to us because it took us a lot of trouble to get them here, didn't it? I mean, that was hard work. Yeah. How special are we to God? How much trouble are we to God? But how special are we to him? He loves us. He calls us his children. This is what we have inherited from him. We become a part of his household. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. We are citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You ever had somebody who's a member of your household, a part of your household? We have, you know, I'm going to pick on Kara now because she, Kara, that was really nice, the stuff that you said. You read it just like I wrote it. No, I'm just kidding. When Josh and Kara were our missionaries in Paraguay, they would come home for visits, and we say home. Like, we called this home for them so that when they were getting ready to not be in Paraguay anymore, it would have sunk in that this is where they needed to come back and be, right? But on a couple of those occasions, when we were very blessed to be able to move into our new house, we had enough space that all four of them could stay with us. They became members of our household. It was a big household at that time. We had a lot of fun, right? We become members of God's household. Like, he takes the lock off the refrigerator for us, right? He loves us. He's called us his children. He has made us a part of his family. And we're going to talk a little bit more later about that. But do you know what that means? Not just I'm a part of God's family, but y'all are a part of my family. He has put us into a family. He's given us sisters. He's given us brothers. He's given us, where are you, mommy? He's given us moms and dads and grandparents. I can't tell you how many people in this congregation my children call aunt and uncle, granny. God's given us a family. He's giving us something that we can belong to. And that is what we have inherited as daughters of the king. She inherits a family in the church. She becomes an adopted daughter. He's adopted us. He looks at us and says, I want you to be a part of my family. And that's what we inherit as daughters of the king. We also inherit blessings in Christ. And it would take us all night and into tomorrow to discuss all of the blessings that we inherit in Christ. But just for the sake of time, if you never have read Ephesians chapter 1, read it. It is a beautiful, beautiful description of a list of things that God has given us as blessings in Him. He's given us redemption through His blood. Anybody know what that word redemption means? That's a big, long word. Now, some of us who are, I'm going to use this word, girls. Some of us who are a little bit older will remember. You remember those little green stamps that you got at the grocery store? Remember? What did you do with those? You redeemed them. That's right. My grandma's got an entire collection. I have an entire collection of silverware that my grandma redeemed with green stamps from the grocery store. Redeemed to buy something back with something. God's redeemed us. He bought us back from our sin, not with green stamps, not with coupons, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If that's not a blessing, I don't know what is. He has given us the forgiveness of our sins, and woo, is that a big one. It would take us all day and into next week to sit down and enumerate the number of times that we have messed up. And God says, I don't remember that anymore. He has given us the forgiveness of sins, those of us who are heirs to His kingdom. He's revealed His will to us. And a lot of times, we take that for granted. God, the creator of the universe, the most powerful being anywhere, at any time, who created us and the world that He's given us to live in, does not sit up in heaven and look at us and say, yeah, make me happy, figure it out. He doesn't do that. He gives us exactly what we need to do to please Him. He says in Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you, Jude says, concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to you. You want to know what God wants you to do? You don't have to wait for Him to whisper it to you. You don't have to wait for somebody to come into. He's told you. All you have to do is read it. Amen. He has given us the revelation of His will. We don't often consider what a precious, special gift that is. He's given us the riches of His grace. I love listening to definitions of grace. We talk about the difference between grace and mercy, and to us, those are Bible words, and we don't always necessarily understand what they mean. Grace is when I get something I don't deserve, right? Mercy is when I don't get what I do deserve, right? And God's given us not just grace, but rich grace. He's given us the opportunity to be saved. And that is what we have inherited from Him as His daughters. He gives us hope. Those days that we feel so dark and so troubled and so worried and so upset and so sad, He's given us hope. All we have to do is reach for it. He tells us, and this is not on your screen, but we were talking about it tonight at dinner. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 is one of the most hope-filled, courageous verses you will find in the Bible. When God looks at Joshua and He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. You want some comfort? You're feeling tired? You're feeling down? You're feeling sad? And just a few chapters before that, God had just said to Moses, I will never leave you or forsake you. And now here's Joshua stepping up to take his position, and God says, I will not leave you. Do you think He just was saying that to Joshua? It's inspired. It's right here for us to read. Tracy, I will not leave you or forsake you. Katie, when I make you stand up here and sing in front of everybody and lead the singing, I will be with you. He's with us. We have that hope in Him, and that is a precious, precious gift. As daughters of the King, not only are we privileged, we're protected. Did you know there's an entire division of the London Metropolitan Police Service that is specifically set aside just for protecting the royal family, right? And if that's not enough, Harrison Ford is often running around London in case somebody wants to blow one of them up, right? Y'all saw that movie? The royal family is protected, right? Well, we also are protected. In the first place, we are protected by the blood of Christ. And we cannot underestimate the power in that protection. I want you to consider the amount of power that was unleashed when they nailed those spikes through His skin and that blood flowed. There has never been a conductor as powerful as the blood of Christ. There is nothing that protects better than the blood of Christ. Kevlar, Teflon. There is nothing, nothing that can protect us better than Christ's precious blood. It cleanses us from all of our sins. And we talked about that a minute ago, that the forgiveness that we are offered in Christ, the forgiveness that His blood offers to us, is a gift that we cannot match. We cannot work hard enough to be worthy of that blood. We cannot do enough good things to deserve that blood. But through the riches of His grace, God has granted us the opportunity to be cleansed from all of our sins. It justifies us. You know what the word justify means? How many of you work in an office, you ever have to work with Word, and you have the option of putting all of your text this direction, or you have the option of putting all of your text this direction, you have the option of putting your text right in the center? What is the option that justified is? It makes it all even, right? It makes your text all even so that it... So something that's justified is not off kilter like this, it's equal. He gave us the opportunity of being equal with Him. He justifies us. He gives us the opportunity to be equal enough to come into His presence. That's what that word means when you read that, justified. It's an accounting term that means to be brought into balance. God brings us back into balance with Him. And it happens through the blood of Christ. That's how He protects us. It brings us near to God. Draw near to me, He says. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him. He wants us to be close to Him. He wants to protect us. Do you remember the story of Jesus saying to the people in Jerusalem? Oh, I wish, Jerusalem, He said, that you would let me pull you to me like a mother hen protects her chickens. You ever see? I grew up on a farm. We had lots of chickens, and they were nasty. But you'd see when the rain started to come, those mama hens would open up those wings and bring those little chickens in. Why? To protect them. And that's what God wants to do for us. It redeems us. His blood redeems us. And we talked a minute ago about what that means. But our redemption comes through His blood. It saves us. It saves us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul says to the Roman church, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from His wrath." We will be saved. It provides forgiveness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "We have redemption through His blood, and we have the forgiveness of sins." It reconciles us to Him. It reconciles us to Him. And that's the same concept as justified. You ever reconcile your checkbook? Nobody reconciles their checkbooks anymore, do they? It does all automatic online. I don't reconcile mine. Let me tell you a secret. I never reconciled my checkbook. That's why I married David Sproul. David's much better with numbers than I am. But God looks at us and He wants us to be brought back into that balance with Him. And not just in an accounting type of way where we're brought back into reconciliation from a number standpoint. Have you ever seen a family that was divided and they brought in an arbitrator to reconcile them, to bring them all back together? We have been a far away from God. Sin separates us from God. And He wants us to be brought back to Him. He wants us to be reconciled to Him. That's a tremendous, tremendous protection that we have. Not only are we protected by the blood of Christ, though, and this is really, it purchased us. Sorry, if you were taking pictures of that screen, that's the last one. Jesus purchased us with His own blood. God purchased the church with the blood of His Son. And that's you want to talk about expensive things that the royal family has? The most expensive item ever purchased was the church. And Jesus bought us with His own blood. Not only are we protected, though, by the blood of Christ, we are protected. And this section of the lesson was so helpful for me in my growth as a Christian. Because we don't always consider this. We know that God loves us, and we know that God's concerned for us, and we don't always avail ourselves of that protection, do we? Listen to what God said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24. I'm going to read it right out of my red Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24. Y'all can turn there if you want to. Some of you got phones. But if you don't, we got a Bible right there in front of you on the pew. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24. And the Lord commanded us, Moses said, to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is to this day. Why does God tell us to observe His statutes? Because He doesn't want us to have any fun? Because He doesn't want us to have friends in the world? Because He doesn't want us to do what we like to do? That He might preserve us alive. It is for our good always. And we don't consider that, do we? That God protects us by the laws and the statutes that He has given us to live by. Let's look at that for a few minutes. A daughter of the king is protected if she lets him direct her steps. And we know that verse, right? It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. And we read that verse and think, well, yeah, men have trouble walking around. That's not what that verse is talking about. And we've observed that tonight, haven't we? And what a tremendous amount of love and concern and care that the men in our congregation have shown to us. That's not what this verse is talking about. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. It's not good for us to try and live our lives in our own way without any direction from God, because we're just going to walk ourselves over into the ditch, right? It's not in man who walks to direct his steps. If the daughter of the king allows God to direct her steps, she will be protected. If she submits to His ways, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And that is not God looking down at us and saying, oh, my poor misdirected children. That's not what that is. He's saying, look, I know better than you. Have you ever looked at your children and said, listen, seriously, I have been there. I know better than you. When we were kids, we didn't want to hear that from our moms, did we? No. Do we as parents like saying that to our children? No, because now I sound like my mother, right? And I know they're not listening to me. I'm like, oh my. No, God's not saying, oh, you poor, silly children, let me tell you what to do. God's saying, I really do know better. And if you'll listen to me, your life will be so much better. So much better. So if she submits to His ways, a daughter of the king will be protected. If she follows His teaching, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 tells us that the Scripture is given to us. Why? It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. What is that? Reproof. Proving it again. It's good for explaining things to us. It's good for correction. And who likes to be corrected? Do you like for somebody to come and tell you, let me tell you how you could have done that better? No, we don't like that, because it's in human nature not to like that kind of thing. But God says to us, let me correct you. Let me teach you. And it will be so much better for you. He protects us in that way. If she accepts His abundant offer of life, right? Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, what? I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Not that we would have life, although we would. Not even that we would have an abundant life, although we would. But that we would have it more abundantly. What does that mean? We shouldn't... Here's what it means. And we're going to be really frank for just a minute. And we're going to talk. The world is telling our children right now what's fun and what's good and what they like and what they should like. And in our absence of misdirecting the world's message, that's all they get. We shouldn't be telling our girls, you need to wait until you get married before you engage in sexual relationship with someone because it's wrong. Although it is, that we should be telling them that. We need to be telling you are the daughter of a king. And your father, the king, has given you a commandment, not because he doesn't want you to have fun, and not because he doesn't want you to feel good, and not because he wants you to miss out on something, but because he knows this is the best way. Your life is going to be so much better later on if you have followed his plan. Your life is going to be so much more happy if you have followed his plan. God doesn't want you to be downtrodden. He wants you to live life abundantly. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be well adjusted. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be healthy. And we're not telling our girls that. We're telling them, listen, you need to be careful and you need to wait. But we're not telling them why. We're not telling them God made a man and he made a woman and he made the most beautiful, special, precious relationship that he could have given to us in marriage. And if you wait until then, it's going to be so amazing. And we're afraid to tell our girls that, right? Because you don't talk about sex in the church building. You know what, though? Everywhere else, they're talking about it. And if they don't get a positive message from us, then we have only ourselves to blame for the negative message that they wind up living by. God's plan works, and it protects us. Jennifer Flanders, in her book, Love Your Husband, Love Yourself, says, sex in our culture has been so effectively divorced from its intended purpose that it has become an empty shell of what it was designed to be. Designed. Do you hear that word? God designed us. He designed us, and he knows what's best for us. And the absolute arrogance that we have when we stand before God and say, thanks, Lord, but I'm going to do it my way. Because I think I know what feels good. And I think I know what, in my heart, I really want to do. No. If we want to be protected by God, then we need to live by his laws. We are not doing enough to counteract the falseness of Satan's message. We need to obey God's laws for our own protection. Not just about sex. But about drinking? I mean, think about that. Does God say don't do that because he doesn't want you to go out and have fun with your friends on Friday night? He knows what comes from that. He knows what comes from it. About raising your children. I mean, really. The amount of difficulty that we see in the raising of children happening today, you can tie directly back to people who do not want to follow God's plan. We need to be following God's plan. About submission. Ooh, we don't want to talk about that one. About salvation. If you ask 10 different people in the world, right? If you walk out and ask 10 different people, what do I need to do to be saved? You're going to get 10 different answers. And God's given us his plan right here in the scripture. Do we want to be protected as daughters of the King? All we have to do is follow his plan. God protects us by the blood of Christ. He protects us by his love and his concern. Finally, a daughter of the King is presented. And we see that all the time, right? Poor Kate Middleton, she got to have her makeup and her hair done before she even came out the hospital after having her second baby. Everybody said, oh, Kate, she doesn't even look like she just had a baby. Well, she had 6 stylists in a hospital room before she came out. I don't want that. But she's presented all the time, isn't she? I mean, even when she doesn't want to be. There's paparazzi. Now listen, I know I can't really talk because I'm running around taking pictures of people all the time, but there's people all the time taking pictures of this woman. A daughter of the King is presented. She is presented to God, and we see that in the scripture, don't we? As a part of his glorious church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 says that he might present her to himself. We are a present that God has given to himself. Do you ever consider that? We are presented. He has presented us to himself as a glorious church. We are presented to God as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. In the Old Testament, what sacrifices did they make to God? Cows, goats, birds. Yucky stuff, right? Like blood and stuff everywhere. That was the sacrifice they gave in the Old Testament. What does God want from us now? He wants us. He wants us living and working for him. A sacrifice. A sacrifice, girls, is something you give up, right? And so this verse, Paul says, God wants you to give yourself up. Don't do what you want to do anymore. Do what he wants you to do. That's the sacrifice that God wants for us. We are to present ourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. An instrument of righteousness. I think about, not an instrument that you would play, but I think about a doctor, a surgeon. And he uses the instruments that he uses to do what? To save lives, to do work, to take care of things. We are instruments in the hands of God, presented to do righteousness. At least we should be. If we are daughters of the King, we are presented to do righteousness. We are presented as slaves of holiness. And this is a pretty serious passage right here. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 says, listen, whether you want to be or not, you are a slave. You're either a slave to Satan, living to yourself and doing what you want and not doing yourself any good. Or you are making a conscious decision to be a slave of righteousness, a slave to God, doing what He has asked us to do, to live for Him, a slave for holiness, presented to Him. We are presented, I love this, for God's approval, a worker for Him who is not ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent, the New King James says. The Old King James says what? Study. Well, if you're studying, y'all over here, if you're studying, you ought to be diligent. That one was free. We are to be diligent to present ourselves to God as workers approved to Him, a worker for Him who is not ashamed. We also are presented to the world. She represents God to the world. We can't see or touch God, right? People out in the world, you can't see God. You can see the evidence of His existence, but we don't see God in His physical form. So what does the world have to see in order to find God? They have us. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16 says that she is the light of the world. What does that mean? You ever see some of these cities that are set up on the hill, and when it's really, really a lighthouse up on the hill, and when it's dark at night and the only light you can see is the light on that lighthouse, that's the only light you can see, right? This world is a dark, dark, scary place. And sometimes the only light people will see is the light that we shine. But we're not the shiny light. We're the light that reflects back to God. So not so that we are glorified, right? But so that they see us and they glorify our Father. We should be the light to the world. And in that way, a daughter of the King represents her Father in the world. Her speech betrays her relationship to God. Now, what does that mean? I almost said story. You know the account of Peter when he denied Christ? And the young girl comes to him and she says, "Now, I know you were with Jesus." And he says, "Wasn't me. You've mistaken me for someone else. Thank you. Move along." And she comes back and she says, "No, I know you were with Him." And she says, "Because your speech betrays you." She knew that he had been with Christ because of the way he was talking. Do people know that you've been with Christ because of the way you talk? If somebody was reading your Facebook page and did not know you, would they know you were a Christian? Well, just a minute now. You just quit preaching and went to meddling, okay? Because don't be talking about my Facebook page. How are we presenting Christ to the world? Are the things that we are saying, are the things that we are doing, are the, hold on, things that we are wearing, do these represent Christ to the world? If people look at us and cannot see that we belong to Christ, why on earth would they follow us to Him? We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to represent our Father to the world. He has left us here with that responsibility. Do you remember all of the blessings that we talked about that He had given to us? And He says to us, "I have this one job for you. Go into the world and teach my gospel." Why should someone accept the teaching of the gospel from me if I do not choose to live it? We have a responsibility, ladies, to represent God to the world. She cultivates a modest appearance. We talked about that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. And listen, that's hard down here in South Florida, right? I mean, you got to make some hard choices. Like, to the point where, like, we don't even go to the beach anymore until it's sunset. I'll go and take pictures of folks, family pictures down at the beach, but not till sunset because my girls don't need to see some of the stuff that is happening at the beach these days. They don't need to see some of the things that are happening on TV these days. They don't need to be wearing some of the things that are cool for kids this time and age to wear these days. And we're very blessed because we don't have that discussion a whole lot in our house because it's a non-starter. But ladies, we need to be standing up and taking a stand. This is what a daughter of the King looks like. This is what a daughter of the King sounds like. This is what a daughter of the King wants to be. We want to be his child. We want to be identified as his child. Not because we want people to look at us and say, she's Christian. I know she's so special. She's a Christian. No, because we want people to come with us. I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want to take as many people with me as I can. And God does too. But we might be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. Make them want to open it. She has no communion with darkness. Now, what does that mean, right? Okay, so we've talked a couple of times in recent weeks about how close do you skate to the edge before you've gone over it. Y'all heard Dan and I think Gary in the young adults class talk about the man who was interviewing a new chauffeur, and he had three candidates. And he said, okay, here, I'm going to give the job. I'm going to watch y'all do this, and then I'm going to give the job. I want to see how close you can get to the edge of that cliff with the tires of my limousine without going off. And the first guy gets over there and goes, okay, I can do it. And he gets, man, he got right up on the edge of it, right? And then the next guy gets up, and he actually hung half the tires off the edge of the cliff before he pulled it out, and he was safe. And the third guy drove all the way over there, as far away from the cliff as he could possibly get. Which one got the job? That's right. You want as far away from that darkness as you can get. Listen, you want to stay as far away from sin as you can get. You don't want to get right up on the edge of it and say, well, I'm okay if I do that. And I'm okay, I'm not sinning, but I know I'm close to it. Listen, as far away from it as you can get, flee evil. As far as a daughter of the king has no communion with darkness. None. Because she reflects the light of Christ. And finally, she shares the gospel. A daughter of the king recognizes that she has a job. Kate, whether she wants to or not, knew that when she married William, she was signing herself up for a job, right? Because as a daughter of the king, as a princess in her instance, there are certain responsibilities, there are certain things that are required of her. As Christians, as daughters of our king, there are certain things that are required of us. And what is required of us is that we share the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I take every opportunity that I have, Paul says, to share that gospel with others. Are we doing that? I mean, a lot of times we think, well, that's the preacher's job. That's Dan's job. That's David's job. And man, Dan's doing a great job. And David's doing a great job. And Josh is doing a great job. But you know what? It's not Josh's job, and it's not Dan's job, and it's not even David's job to evangelize the people that I know. I know a lot of folks Dan doesn't know. I know a lot of folks David doesn't know. How many folks do I know down at JCS that David doesn't know, right? Right? Girls, you know a lot of people. And every one of those people that you know needs to go to heaven. And how do they know that if you don't tell them? A daughter of the king has a responsibility to represent God to the world. A daughter of the king, she's privileged. She's protected. She is presented. And finally, a daughter of the king is prepared. She's prepared. She knows that she's ready to go to heaven. She has believed in Christ. She has repented of her sins. She has confessed her faith in him. And Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. She has been baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Acts 2 and verse 38. And Peter said to the people, they said to him, we've murdered the Son of God. What on earth can we possibly do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. She's done that. When she has done that, God has cleansed her of her sin. He's added her to the church. He has enrolled her and he's registered her name in heaven. God's got a great big book, and your name is written in it. And then he says, if you serve me faithfully, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, a daughter of the king. If you have not done that, please do. If you have not become a daughter of the king, ask any of us. There are so many ladies here who are willing to talk with you and help you. We'll take you right back to Dan and David, and they know their stuff. Do we want that crown of life? We want it. If you want to study There are so many people here who would be willing to sit down and have a study with you. You want to grow as a Christian? Open up your Bible. You want some help? Give me a call. I love studying the Bible. I love studying it with girlfriends. Do what you need to do to be faithful until death. And He has promised us a crown of life. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father in heaven, we thank You so much for today. We thank You for this opportunity that You have given us to learn from You, to study Your Word together, to take some of Your verses and look at them in ways that maybe we haven't in the past. We thank You for every one of the men who served us today, who made us feel so special, who worked so hard to serve You and us. We thank You, Lord, for every single lady who took time out on a busy weeknight to come even from so far away to study Your Word and to have fellowship with so many other wonderful, precious ladies. We thank You for each and every person who was involved in planning this event. I thank You, Lord, personally for the opportunity that You gave me to study Your Word more, to learn it more, and to put it in my heart. Please, God, help us every day to live more worthy to be Your daughters, to be more royal. We thank You so much, especially for Your Son and the sweet, precious blood that He shed for us on the cross. We ask that You would help us every day to live more worthy of that sacrifice. In His precious name we pray. Amen.